Maybe it's just fixed like that. Auto.
It's worse.
Yes.
Oh, that's really low resolution, right?
It's cute. Can you move?
No, it's just that I don't hear you. Okay, thanks for being here, Steve. I have to present a project without having internet, so I will present a software without showing the software. So I fear a bit that at the end you will think, what is this lady talking about? Because it will look quite theoretical and a bit abstract. On the other side, this is the first day of Pixel, and I'm here. Until Monday morning, so feel free to come around and try it out with me, or just go on the website and download it or clone it with Git and have a look. It takes like 1 minute to install the software, so I have to make it quite theoretical, and then I think I will kind of talk about the story of this project. How much time do I have? Half an hour? Okay. So this is this project is called Virtual Entity, and is developed in two directions. One is really practical, and the other one is more theoretical. It starts from the idea of making a sort of license, which would not be a license in the sense that it wouldn't talk about copyright or property, but something which would give the information about a file or about like something digital which I put online. So I wasn't comfortable with even these open licenses which would give you a logo and then you would link to something else which would be let's say a Creative Commons website, and you would have like basically no communication with the people using or seeing your work, and you would not have any chance to give them any information about you, what you were doing. So I was thinking about I started to make a wiki on my website and to try to connect and give some information about each file on this wiki so that people could find out, for example, who made the video and what was this about, and then could also add something right inside this wiki and say, hey, hi, I use this video for my, cineforum in my social center or whatever. So the idea was to create some communication and to connect people who create work and people who actually found them online and use them. So instead of thinking of a license as the claim of a property, it was like the idea of creating this link. Developing this idea, this is the very start. Developing this idea, I understood that what I was doing was more of a metadata system. So having information inside to find a way, I've been also working a lot as an archivist in Amsterdam, in Montevideo, and I was working for Marina Abramović privately. So I have been like dealing a lot with like compression problems and like how to describe different versions of video and so I think this experience came together at a certain point while I was working on this, and I understood that. I wanted to, like, one of the main problems of metadata is that you normally insert this information. Metadata is like, okay, title, author, and let's say whatever you want to use to describe a minimal amount of information to describe a file or a cultural unit or an entity. So I thought the problem, one of the main problems was like that you normally insert these inside the file. I mean, virtual entity is about digital files. So anytime you recompress or you copy and add new information inside the file, you don't have something in sync. So I was thinking of a way to put this information outside the file so that, let's say, if today I have like Richard Splinder's videos on my computer and these files have metadata and he's adding in a week new information. I could access this information from the copies which I have in my local disk. And like the next step was to add new information, the possibility to add new information. So basically, this became the idea of creating an aura, a file with a soul. And the soul would be like, this is maybe my poetic way of talking about this metadata system. A soul and an aura. The soul in itself is basically, I call it soul because it's what is really describing. Where is it written what am I? Or what I'm, what something really is, might be that this could be like a metaphor for the soul, whereas the aura is the relation, the experience that this body or the file or the entity has with reality and experience. So whereas for a file, the soul would be like, you know, the core metadata. In the aura, there would be like the interaction among with other files, the relations between these and other files, and the annotations that other users could add. So I it sounds a bit complicated. I show you one moment how it should work. So just at least I give you a help file. So basically how this works, you have like right now is a prototype, it's a Python prototype, very simple, just a proof of concept I'm making. The idea is to have you call the soul command line and then the name of the files that you have in your local directory, and this will create the soul on a database online and will couple the MD file, MD5 with an ID for the file. So each copy ever of that file which has the same MD5 can access this information, and the information is not inside the physical file but it's online. If you have the same video in a different compression, let's say like splinder.org or splinder.mov, you can twin, because this is the same content, like are two identical files. You can go and edit the file or expand the soul. Expand the soul is like entering inside the aura, which means annotate, saying add a comment, add something which creates a sort of like self-generated history or like a self-generated archive. So that I say, okay, I used Splendor for my striptease, whatever. And this becomes attached to the story of the file itself. Parenthesis is another interesting thing for me, which is it's about relations between file, genetic relations. So I mean, this work is also about non-property and the reuse, the fragmentation of files as cultural units, which can be recombined extensively and indefinitely. So, for example, if I am making a video and I'm using an audio file which is online, and I find this, I can add the information inside the soul or inside the aura of my file, my new video, that the sound, the sources which I use, we can call them sources. Like, I don't know, I make a video, I make an animation, I'm using 10 drawings, 3 audio files, and I mix them together. So those are sources. So my file is a child of the other file. Whereas, vice versa, like if somebody takes my video and uses a frame for making a painting or whatever, or making some other digital image, this will be a child of that file. Then, I mean, we could go for cousins and other more complicated relations, but at the moment I'm working on this parent-child relation and semantic relation. So, for example, if I have the Splendor's collection of movements, they are all, they have the thematic thing, or Splendor matrix, and I can add this information that all those little videos, all those clips he made, are about semantically related to this theme of Splendor matrix, to make an example. So so basically you get this database which is always accessible and can extensively grow to scan when you so far it works in local directory, so you scan and it checks if the files in the local directory have the soul, and if you find them, you can display that and start adding information, or coupling files. Having these relations is interesting also because the idea also behind this is that it's a metaphysical, maybe ironic concept of digitality, where any file is seen as a living entity, which has a life. So it can also die, or there's a Darwinism in the net. So some files will have loads of maybe a file disappears, but fragments of these are contained inside other files. Whereas, for example, other files are not very important, but they are I don't know, some of you maybe know a bit of theory of graphs and semantic web, whereas a point or a link or a connection can be really maybe not very relevant because no one is using this file, no one is looking at that, but this is the connection between two different words, and this might be the only connection of two very far away graphs of relations. So I thought this was interesting to inspect the virtual world which is the internet. I go back now to this was the practical side. Yeah, I don't want to go too much. I put some quotations. I don't want to go all over your head. So take it. How is it working? Okay. I'm just like, this project was for a year a research project at Jan van Eyck Academy, so I had the possibility to also develop and fall in love with theory and play with like the mythical world I'm talking about here, and the cosmogony is like a sort of terminology which I created to talk about the project. For example, a native file. I started to talk about native file instantiation, like taking words from classical philosophy, substances, like I divided the files in audio, video, audio, and audio, video, audio, and text, image and text for substances like classic Aristotelic substances, and I started to talk about like what happens. The idea of like the birth of a file is actually the moment that the file goes online and becomes available, but also like subject to it goes out of control, like life. It goes out of control and can be copied and copied and copied. So this mythical world, when there is the idea, not the idea of property, but the idea of creation and fragmentation. And I'm going through phases with that. So now I'm thinking of the virtual entity also as a final, like this is a final. Extent of my imagination, like a sort of digital monster, whereas like instead of having many souls, or the complexity of those souls could become a monster, or like those relations can start to be alive and be something else that has again another virtual life in itself. So I put for you a few references, which are like during my research. All authors who I was have been interested, and I just quote them. I don't want to look like too dogmatic on that. So I have been advised to look at Mikhail Bakhtin, because and his concept of like how does it the concept of monoglossia, and the idea that it's a text about parody and Latin literature and late Latin literature, whereas like everything is you can only talk at a certain point inside the Latin word using the words of somebody else. So right now this concept in our contemporary discussion property of products of imagination. You know, it's coming back as something which is interesting and is antique. So, for example, the birth of any parodic piece of poetry is about like taking or the whole history of mythologies, like telling the same, using the same modules, the same patterns of like and those stories in different forms, and then something is poetry, and then it goes into theater, and then it becomes parodia. So it's like a collective it's a collective logos, whereas like there is this idea of the voice, which is any is like language is alive, and anything you say was the language of somebody else, or were the words of somebody else. So if we translate this to the internet, then we could imagine each file as a piece of alphabet, and then to make new sentences we could always imagine to be allowed to use any of those fragments of culture. And then I was falling in love badly with Spinoza. Inside the ethics, I found things which would work for our world, and but not really for the digital world, because in a way, all the principles which are to me so convincing in Spinoza, in our physical world, could be just like completely twist within the digital. For example, one substance cannot be produced by another. It's not true. I can make a piece of audio from a text. I don't know, like, for example. Or, you know, in the digital, if I have those four substances, you know, I can really twist the axioms, the main axioms of the ethics, and reinvent a new ethic inside the digital world. And then I didn't read in Banks, but I'm going to do it, and he's like a science fiction writer, maybe somebody of you knows him, who was talking about a known property system where resources are infinite, and so there is it's a form of sort of anarchism, non-capitalism, non-communism, where, because communism is kind of falling on the point of having state control, and basically it's just the point where, like, there is no scarcity, and we don't have scarcity in the net because we have an infinite amount of copies which can be produced, so there is no it is not necessary to limit or to declare something as a private property. I have left a few minutes. Well, I mean, then Deleuze might be a bit complicated, but what can I say about that? Yeah, Deleuze. I was calling him now because he was one of the first who started to say that. And this is not very well known, but he started to say that there is no difference between real and virtual. And then he started to talk about degree of power. Deleuze worked a lot on Spinoza as well, and it was actually kind of translating it to something more contemporary and comprehensible in a way, and making it like the basics of contemporary philosophy. So the idea it's quantitative and not qualitative goes back to the idea of like substances, and the degree of power is what makes the difference of something which is potential. And then this text goes on and says one fish cannot do what the next fish does or will do, because things are continuously mutating, and there is no limit, so you cannot just like describe things with categories. And then categories, of course, are at the basis of other. Did I cut out another one? Yeah, Guarino is here, so I just jump out of Deleuze. So non-qualitative, but quantitative difference. So there is no qualitative difference between me and a fish. But Guarino was at the very beginning of Nicola Guarino was at the beginning of the research. Like he's been writing about databases and categories, both from an AI and philosophical perspective. Ted Nelson, of course, was the inventor of the hypertext and guru of the internet. And his work Xanadu about like he had this idea of like having a huge database of files though, where each user would access all the time just the original file. And this was dramatic software in a way, never ending, but super. It was utopia. But great, and I get where I am now with the project is like, okay, the idea that there is all copies are identical, but then I went to the next step, and the next step is that each copy is original, so that at the end everything is different. So of Deleuze. For example, like I still have my old technological tapes from my teenage years, no? My little tapes with music. I don't think it's the same for me to listen to those or to just download the MP3. And it's not a matter of quality. I mean, that is my original, for example. This is the music how I remember because of the noise. The noise margin was like the continuous modification. So basically, if I display a video here, or I display it on a monitor, this video, like your perception, will change because it depends on the player, it depends on a possible lag on the internet connection if it's online, on the settings of your screen and so on. So each work is not actually identical because there's so much noise that any experience becomes the original one. And I close with like this Japanese dancer who's it's not visible though. Who's like talking about the idea that everything is living, and so I can read it. Well, anyway, he's talking. He's a dancer of Butoh and from like Japanese culture, and he's like thinking that not even our body is ours. Nothing is. Everything is alive, but nothing is possessed. And I think I don't have any more time, so I brought a few things. I have those that are part of the. I was working together with Florian Schneider in the group for imaginary properties. So this is one publication. I have a few copies if somebody wants to have it. And and I have a few badges. Those are I'm gonna give them to the first who comes close to me. And then if you want to have one in the next days, you have to come sit next to me, tell me that you like the project, that you would like to help me, and that you want to sit there and have a look at that with me. And I will give you a badge. If you have any quick question, because I think we are going to be kicked out soon.
The project is about souls, but I mean, does not really exist. Or do you think there is something like a soul?
I think databases are quite interesting. And I think also in the open source world we could focus more on that because a lot of things are being determined now and in the future through databases. This is one answer. The other answer is like what when I said, why did I call it soul? I said on one side it's ironic. On the other side, it's like what would be a soul? Maybe this is where it's written, who I am. So it's something of which stays on another sphere. So this database online could be a soul's repository. Yeah, but I am outrageous enough to use it, I think. So, yeah, I mean, it is for some. It was just a flash in my mind. I mean, it just became a soul at a certain point. I mean, it's also play, you know, it's a philosophical work. So, I'm doing also theory and then philosophical and metaphysical work on the identity of files. So yeah, I mean I know it could be you know, like misinterpret, but sometimes you have to take risk. Or on the other side, it's edgy. It's a critique. You know, it's a.
You intended.
Hello? No, not really. I mean, in the sense, I don't claim any affiliation with any religion. I'm not religious. I'm atheist. My affiliation maybe is with the history of philosophy and the idea of metaphysics. And philosophy is atheist for the most of the time.
I don't see anything on religion right now. I think it's more related. My question is more about, because you give a lot of example, and I thought about two author, which is Lyotard and Barthes. So one of the deaths of the author, I didn't see any in reference, and one on the posthuman, which actually talk about a little bit what he's doing, but in another way, which is for him, the sun's gonna die in 2 billion years, 2 billion, yeah, so a century. And so what's the question is like, why are we doing all of that, knowing that anyway, all the traces on the earth gonna disappear? So that he start from there. And then he says that anyway, that the projections of the posthumans towards those questions is assessed to how are we gonna survive our condition, our human conditions? And then he talked about the cybernetics and the binary codes, basically, and the computer and the machines in general. And then he asked the questions: is like, is it reflecting what exactly we are, the complexity of human thought, or the nature? And I think the point where I'm a little bit disagree, or I want to hear more about the questions you're raising, is what is that? The relation to the database and the questions of the soul, which is something, all this question of religions and everything is this transcendental. So how you could the problem in here is how we reduce by one and zero and the binary codes something that is rather like the aura, or the essence on transcendental. The problematic is why we are like reducing it, and do you see the limits of the reduction of those concepts, or how did you ask those questions, or towards those people, or how you solve your questions this limit into your project? I'm only interested personally because of those problematics and ambiguities. I don't know if you have thought about that.
Yeah, okay, no. Okay. No, thanks. I mean, well, I can only say this is not a final list of references, and this is not a finished project. So, you know, I also contradict myself. Not contradict, but I it's research. So, for example, I started to think about copies, and then any copies was original. Could be that at a certain point I think, no, this shouldn't be called soul. Or maybe I think, yes, it's reductive, but I want to implement this reduction, you know, or the direction this could go are potentially infinite. Right now I'm trying to inject also. I'm more focusing on the technical side right now, and trying to inject this theoretical side into the code, which is another process. And then through these experiments, I like also the you don't start making research. I think it's not from like the result. You can really like fight through, you know, like what you where you want to go and what you find out. You don't have to go through a straight line. That's what I say. For so, like, thanks for, you know, like the comments and other ideas. I think it's potentially infinite, like the relation you can find and the number of authors. So this was, you know, a snapshot of what I did last year in a quick. I didn't want to, you know, make for you a list, exhaustive list of like who talked about souls or ontology.
We have to quit. And I will just finish, wrap up. Thank you so much, Eleonora. And she will be here during the festival, so you have lots of time to talk to her. Dinner for participants is at 6 at BIX, and we have festival opening at Landmark at 9. And I wish you welcome. Oh, sorry. Opening at the Sound Gallery at 6 as well. So it's right next to where the dinner place is. And see you tomorrow.